Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 21 June 2026, Romans.
All right, once again, we have an announcement. We are in need of additional Bib Ed teachers, full-time or substitute. Please see Debbie if you are interested. And as I pointed out, the pay is not much, but the retirement benefits are amazing. Last Sunday, we had Flag Day. This Sunday, we have Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. And we have the 4th of July just around the corner. 4th of July falls on Saturday. On Sunday, the 5th of July, we will have class, followed by communion, followed by a movie. So there you go. Hoo-ah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, the great parenthesis. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are in the great parenthesis in Romans at three chapters long. Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. And in the first paragraph of chapter 9, we have the sorrow of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was originally Saul of Tarsus. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee. He was a Jew. And then he placed his faith in Jesus Christ and became one of the greatest apostles and communicators of the Word of God. But he has this great sorrow in his heart. And that's in Romans 9, 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 3 sounds like this. I am communicating the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. In Christ, I am not lying. My conscience bearing witness with me by the agency of the Spirit, that I have a great sorrow and constant pain in my heart. For I could wish that I myself would be anathemed, accursed, consequently separated from Christ, for the sake of my brethren, my fellow countrymen, according to earthly descent. As the Apostle Paul grew up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he attained the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and had virtue love brought to completion in his own heart, the more sensitive he became to the tragedy of Israel and the Jewish people. To have such a fantastic spiritual heritage that the Jews have and miss out on eternal salvation was almost more than Paul could bear. Both the formation of the Jewish race and the origin of the Jewish nation of Israel emphasizes Jesus Christ is the God of Israel. Jesus Christ is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And therefore, to be a Jew and not to believe in Christ, the God of Israel, is overwhelming to the Apostle Paul. Paul sees the Jewish people as being so close and yet so far. Paul's pain and burden persisted in proportion to the number of Jews who rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. Paul sees the destiny of those Jews who reject Christ as Savior. He knows that they will be in the lake of fire, and that breaks his heart. Because Paul understands the issue from knowing and believing the aletheia, the absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures, and from the royal family honor code in his soul, Paul is even willing to take their place. He's willing to go to the lake of fire himself if it could mean that they would be saved. Even though this is amazingly noble and honorable on the Apostle Paul's heart and life, the desire is impossible. The expression of it, however, reveals maximum function of the Apostle Paul's royal family honor code and virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And also, Paul sees a very powerful principle in the Word of God. Substitution as one of the most honorable principles of life and the basis of Operation Grace, Jesus Christ solving the problem of the world's sin. It demands nobility of motivation, expression of maximum impersonal love for all. The greatest illustration of this for the whole world is the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our place. He was our substitute. He willingly went to the cross. He willingly received the world's sins in his body on the cross. He willingly received the judgment for those sins once and for all. And therefore, anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life and eternal salvation. Now, Romans 9, 4, and 5, we have the incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel. And that incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel is given in six parts. Part 1, the adoption as sons. Part 2, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, above the Ark of the Covenant. Part 3, the unconditional covenants. Part 4, the giving of the Mosaic Law. Part 5, the temple service. Part 6, the promises. We've studied Part 1, adoption, and Part 2, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Holy of Holies above the Ark of the Covenant. And we exegeted half of verse 4, Romans 9, verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom belongs part 1 of the incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel, adoption as adult sons, and part 2 of the incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel, the Shekinah glory. Now that brings us to part 3. Part 3 of the incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel are the unconditional covenants. The unconditional covenants. And we got started on this last Sunday. We'll pick it up again. The covenants to Israel are God's gracious promises and provision for Israel. As a new racial species called the Jew, as a client nation to God, and to the born-again Jews as the possessors of eternal life. The Jew had to believe in Jesus Christ in order to qualify to receive the blessings of the unconditional covenants. The Jew cannot enter their spiritual heritage until they first of all believe in Jesus Christ. All the unconditional covenants to Israel, all four of them, have an eternal life clause based on the fact that Israel has a future in both time and in eternity. Being born racially a Jew is not enough to benefit from these unconditional covenants. Spiritually dead persons cannot inherit eternal life or benefit from these unconditional covenants. Those who benefit from these covenants must have eternal life through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Now there are four unconditional covenants given by God, guaranteed. It depends totally on God. The Abrahamic covenant, and unfortunately, theologians have called it the Palestinian covenant. That's not what it should be called. It should be called the real estate covenant. So the Abrahamic covenant, the real estate covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenants. And we just got started on unconditional covenant number 1, the Abrahamic covenant. We've studied the first 6 points. Point 1 was this is a grace paragraph. A grace paragraph. Grace depends totally upon who and what God is, not who and what we are or the Jews are. Totally on who and what God is. This is a grace paragraph in which God made a favorable disposition to Abraham and to his spiritual seed. Point 2, Abraham's spiritual seed is patterned after Abraham's own salvation. Genesis 15, verse 6, Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was credited to his account for righteousness. 3, the original presentation of Abraham's paragraph included both race and nation, found as a 3-point principle in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3, and also in verse 3 of that passage, a warning against anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is a satanic evil, no Christian should ever be anti-Semitic or hate Israel or the Jewish people at all in any way. When you do that, you are thinking exactly like a fallen angel, Satan, the ruler of planet Earth. Point four, the real estate promise is given for the first time in the Abrahamic covenant. We saw that in Genesis 13, 14 to 16, Genesis 15, 18 to 21. Point five, this covenant was confirmed in sequence to those to whom it would pertain. First of all, to Isaac, in contrast to his brothers, Genesis 26, 3 and 4, and then to Jacob, instead of his twin brother Esau, Genesis 28, 13 and 14, Genesis 35, verse 12. Point six, the Abrahamic covenant was the basis for the divine deliverance of the Jews from slavery in Egypt and the establishment of the client nation, Exodus 6, 2 through 8. All right, now that brings us this morning to point seven under the Abrahamic covenant. Point seven, the Jewish descent in the Abrahamic covenant is based on the miracle. This is a miracle, I guarantee you. On the miracle of the revival of the sexual ability of Abraham at the age of 100. And Sarah at the age of 90. Now, when your reproductive organs are functioning at the age of 190, that is a miracle. Almost like the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. So the Jewish descent in the Abrahamic covenant is based on the miracle of the revival of the sexual ability of Abraham and Sarah. Turn over to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. We'll start at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you, Abrahamic covenant, unconditional covenant, and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down. And God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. Now, this, when he hears this, he's hearing it when he's 99. I'm going to be the father of many nations? Excuse me, sir. How is that going to happen? You know, I'm that part of me dead. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you, Abrahamic covenant, and your descendants after you for the generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you. And I will be their God. Now, look over at verse 17. When the Lord got done stating this to Abraham, verse 17, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, not out loud, said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? So inside he laughed. But God knew that he laughed. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Start at verse 19. Romans 4, verse 19. And without becoming weak in faith, he, Abraham, contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter, this is the chapter of the spiritually mature believer, heroes in the Old Testament, and Abraham's definitely one of those. Verse 11, by faith, and this is the body of faith, by means of maximum amount of the Word of God in Abraham's heart. By faith, and this is first of all Sarah too, Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him, the Lord Jesus Christ, faithful, who had promised. Therefore, verse 12, also there was born of one man, Abraham, and him as good as dead in his reproductive organ at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So, point 7, the Jewish descent in the Abrahamic covenant is based on the miracle of the revival of the sexual ability of Abraham and Sarah. Point 8. The ultimate blessing in the covenant is declared in the testing of Abraham. Because when Abraham reached spiritual maturity, he was tested by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord isn't testing him so the Lord can figure this out. He knows. He knows that Abraham's a spiritually mature believer. He knows he's going to pass this. This isn't for the Lord. This is for Abraham, Sarah. This is for you and me. This is the demonstration of what happens when you attain spiritual maturity. There will be great, greater grace blessings. That's what this is for. So the ultimate blessing in this covenant is declared in the testing of Abraham when he was told to take his son Isaac up and offer him as a burnt offering. Turn over to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, starting at verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. This is a fantastic test. This testing comes to the believer who has attained spiritual maturity. When you attain spiritual maturity, there will be testings that give you an opportunity to demonstrate that you have attained maturity, and because you have the greatest respect for God, the greatest respect for the Word of God, the greatest respect for the communicator of the Word, because you have a maximum amount of the Word of God in your soul, because you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will be tested. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham. Is that an amen? Yeah. Are you being tested? No. Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac. And God promised the Abrahamic covenant that through his son, and he has this son at the age of 100, and he's going through that son, the Abrahamic covenant, his descendants will be as numerable as the sand on the seashore. And now God tested him with regard to that Abrahamic covenant. I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Now, look at the next verse. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey, and he took off. Notice what he did not do. He has total virtue love in his soul. He loves God the Father with infinite personal love. He loves God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he totally, whatever God has for me and gives me an order, yes, sir, and I do it. This was an amazing thing. His only son, Isaac, his unique son, born at the age when Abraham's 100, take him and offer him as a burnt offering. He didn't argue with God. He didn't argue with the Father. And he believed. He just, yes, sir, and headed out. And he believed if he's going to sacrifice his son, that he would be resuscitated on that mountain and he would return back. He totally believed that 100%. Because he believed the promise of the Abrahamic covenant given to him. So, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, now listen, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. We will worship and we will come back to you. Abraham already received this, the unconditional covenant of the Abrahamic covenant, and he believed the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son. Abraham replied, the fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And then he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And by the way, Isaac, he's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has total respect for God and total respect for his father. And he doesn't argue, cry out. He's being tied up and laid on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God. Now, Jesus Christ knew that in eternity past. But this was a test. This was a test for Abraham. This was a test for Sarah. This was a test for you and me. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. So Abraham called that place Jehovah Yireh, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. Greater grace blessing. Bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your seed, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Abraham is a winner believer. And this is now part of the greater grace blessing package. So the ultimate blessing in this covenant is declared in the testing of Abraham. Genesis 22:1-18. Turn over also to Hebrews chapter 11. Again, in the chapter of the spiritually mature heroes in the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, again, the body of faith, by means of maximum amount of the Word of God, metabolized doctrine in his heart, by means of the function of the faith rest life to the maximum, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. Verse 18, it was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your seed will be called. Verse 19, he considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. That is, figuratively speaking. God wasn't going to have him at all, kill his son. It was an amazing test for Abraham, and he passed it with flying colors. So this taught both individual blessing imputed to the spiritually mature believer like Abraham, and blessing by association as a client nation for other nations to be blessed. That's the first unconditional covenant. That brings us to unconditional covenant number two, the real estate covenant. The real estate covenant. Now again, theologians have called it the Palestinian covenant. That's a terrible name for it. It's far, far better to be called the real estate covenant, because Palestinian means the land of the Philistines. The land of the Philistines. They occupied certain parts of this designated land, but they represent Greeks, uncircumcised Greeks, the great sea people. So the best name for this is the real estate covenant. Unconditional covenant number two. One, God, as party of the first part, made a favorable land grant to Israel as his client nation forever. God, as party of the first part, made a favorable land grant to Israel as his client nation forever. Two, Israel will again be a client nation in the millennial kingdom and forever. Israel will again be a client nation. Israel is not a client nation to God in the times of the Gentiles. We're living in the times of the Gentiles from 70 AD when the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline by Titus and his Roman legions was executed. That began the times of the Gentiles, and they will continue until the second advent of Jesus Christ when he comes back and establishes his kingdom on earth, the millennial kingdom, for 1,000 years. Israel will be restored as the client nation of God at that time and then forever. So Israel will again be a client nation in the millennial kingdom and on forever. 3. This covenant, the real estate covenant, guarantees the entire Middle East as a land grant to Israel forever. Now, look at all the wars going on by the Arabic peoples in the Middle East. Look at all the fights that's going on. And everything goes on in this country, the evil saying that land belongs to Hamas, belongs to Arab peoples all over. It doesn't belong to Israel at all. No, God gave it to Israel, guaranteed. And it isn't just a little bit of land that they have now. This land that God promised Israel goes all the way up to Turkey. It's called the word Hittites. The Hittites lived in what is now Turkey. This land given to Israel goes all the way up to Turkey, goes all the way down to Egypt and the Nile River, goes all the way over to Iraq, the Euphrates River, and to the Mediterranean Sea. All of that God gave to Israel. That belongs to His Israel. 100%. And it will be given to Israel. So this covenant guarantees the entire Middle East as a land grant to Israel forever. 4. It includes all of the Middle East to the Euphrates River, all the way over to Iraq. It includes all of the Middle East, all the way over to the Euphrates River, Iraq. It includes all of Turkey. That's the Hittites. It includes half of Egypt and Ethiopia, the Nile River. All of that belongs to Israel. 5. This land will never be fully occupied by Israel as a client nation until the second advent of Jesus Christ in His millennial reign. This land will never be fully occupied by Israel as a client nation until the second advent of Christ in His millennial reign. 6. This grant was first proclaimed by God to Abraham as the father of the Jewish race. And we saw that in Genesis 13, 14, and 15, and Genesis 15, 18. It's mentioned in indefinite terms, the land which you are seeing, I will give to you and to your seed forever. And the word forever means that racial Jew must become regenerate Jew. He must have the gift of eternal life to inherit this promise. So we're going to stop there, take a break. We're still working on the real estate covenant. Very, very important to totally understand. Who does that land belong to in the Middle East? To Israel! It belongs to Israel. And they will have it when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent. All right? Take a break. Come back in a few for part 2.